Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship. This is the quarantine zone. If anyone can play the organ or deliver a preach, please put your hand up now. It's lovely to come and to worship together. And as we've been thinking about at our Bible study, the Lord's Prayer, and it seems like our worship has continued in the same vein on the Sundays. And last week we were thinking about our Father and how we align our requests with God's will. And by being able as God's children to call him our Father, that it gives us the idea of a relationship and of intimacy. And it takes the focus from ourselves to God and then to others. And as we do that, that the glory would go back to him. And as we thought about the high priestly prayer in John 17, glorifying God by name and by his character, that we can give God the glory and the honor that his name deserves. So as we come to worship, I'll read, Lord, teach us to pray, so we might awaken to the wonder of your presence, so we might feel gratitude for your gift of life today, so we might discover your kingdom as revealed in our sisters and brothers in Christ. So we might find safety beneath the shelter of your wings. So we might declare your glory as we gather together. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. And our opening song of praise and worship was one of the psalms that we read at our Bible study, and in the English Standard Version, it's headed up worship in the splendor of holiness. And as I shared with the Bible study group, that it reminds me of my church in Alma Street, where I went for years, and I looked up and it said, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And so we'll sing number 529, O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Thank you.
And so let's continue in prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we come to pray because we know that the Lord is his name. Father, we come to praise you just because you are so great and wonderful. Your power is complete and there is no weakness in you. There is nothing that you do not know. We praise you that you see everything, to the ends of the earth and deep into our lives. We thank you that there is nothing that you do not see or fully understand. We praise you for your greatness and your supreme authority. As we've just sung, it gives us hope for our fears and strength as we come to you. We come to you, Father, because in Jesus Christ, your Son, you first came to us. We thank you that you always make the first move. You do not wait to be asked to create, to love, to forgive, or even to send your Son to be our Saviour. We praise you that you are far, far greater than we can ever understand. We praise you for your love to us in Christ Jesus. Father, we come aware of your majesty, and then we realize how small our lives really are. It's when we begin to grasp your glory that we can be held by your grace. It's when we are crushed by life that we are glad to be strengthened by the knowledge of the empty cross. It's when we're defeated by our attempts to follow Jesus that we are glad to be encouraged. We praise you because of Jesus. It is in him and through your love that we have come to know him as our friend and our brother. It is through him that we know you as Father, and that we can be your children. We thank you for everyone who makes Jesus real for us, whose words and deeds make it easier for us to put our trust in you. Forgive us when our selfishness and our greed make it harder for others to know you. Forgive us for the times we hurt you and each other, in our words, in our actions, when we don't see people as you see them. We ask and come in forgiveness, knowing that your love and your power will change our lives from the inside out, and that we will become channels of your love and hope to those that we meet. And as we think about your hope this morning, we do pray for the events that are going on in Israel and Gaza. We pray, Lord, that they would find your peace somewhere in the midst of that conflict. We pray for all those, Lord, that are in that situation. Not only those, Lord, that are fighting and causing the distress, but those who, Lord, are the innocent victims, those that have lost lives, lost family, have lost their homes. Lord, the situation looks out of control in our eyes. And yet, Lord, we know that you are there in the midst of it, Lord. There with the peacemakers and the aid givers and the neighbours, Lord, who will look after neighbours. We do thank you for the signs of hope, Lord, as people will join together in their distress. Lord, we didn't want to see those sort of things going on, but we know throughout the world, Lord, there are so many conflicts. We continue to pray for Ukraine, Lord, for Afghanistan, for the events in Iran, Lord, and all those other countries that just seem like they're on the cusp of civil unrest and war. Lord, we pray for our community. We thank you, Lord, that we can be part of it. Help us to be salt and light to all that we come into contact with, so that they may come and know more of you. Lord, I pray that you would give us a real sense of your presence and power each day, that we go forward in hope, knowing that our sins are forgiven and that we are accepted. We ask our prayers in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let's join together and say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So as we continue in our thoughts of hallowing God's name, let's continue our praises as we sing number 24. All things praise thee, Lord Most High. And so this morning I want us to look at a psalm that we looked at on Bible study that is a psalm of David, a prayer of David, as he recognises God's identity and his character, and he uses so many different words to express in his prayer. And that was long before Jesus taught us how to pray. And as we hear it, it's an individual lament that is geared to a situation that he finds himself in, one of his own making, as he acknowledges to God. But he grounds his request in the name of God and in his character, because David himself recognizes from the scriptures and pours out in worship and praise and confession his own heart's desire. And so I'll ask Pippa if she'll come and read. Thank you.
This is Psalm 86, and you'll find it on page 596 in the Church Bible, and it's a prayer of David. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. For you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever, for great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Arrogant foes are attacking me, O God. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. They have no regard for you. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant. Save me, because I serve you just as my mother did. Give me a sign of your goodness, that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me.
So as we prepare our hearts to hear what God has to say to us through his word, let's sit and sing number 3. We'll sing it through twice. And it turns the attention again away from us to God, our Father, as we sing together, Abba, Father.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, open our hearts now to hear more of your word, to know more of your grace and your mercy and your faithfulness to you, as we come now and thank you for your faithfulness to us, as we learn how to pray, hallowed be thy name. Amen. You all right there? Stay there. Can you think about the many ways that you've been addressed this week, either verbally or electronically or in writing? Yeah. Yes, I can, Sharon. So have you been addressed by your title, by your name, a mixture of both?
Madam.
Madam?
By the scammers.
By the scammers. That was a mistake, wasn't it?
And does business in our country.
He calls you madam. That was brave, wasn't it? But more often than not, we get addressed, don't we, by our titles, whether it be Mr., Miss, Mrs. I always love the letters that say, "Dear Mr. Hollenby," I'm like, that's not for me. And I get the ones that say, particularly emails that say, "Dear Sharon Hollenby." So I'm thinking, well, if you're too lazy to either call me Miss or Mrs. or Reverend or Dear Sharon, then I know again it's not for me, and into the trash it goes. How about the ones that say, "Dear Occupier"? Yeah, it's becoming emotion now, isn't it? Yeah, into the trash. But do you think your reaction changes depending on who calls you by that name? I mean, I can tell Debbie's reaction on Friday night at 6:15. Madam? Madam? Do you think if somebody calls you by your name, do you have a different reaction depending on who it is or what title they use to identify you? Yes, you will talk to me. Yes. In that tone, yes, yeah. No, obviously I don't know that. But when they just use, you know, like you say, a madam or a sir, or if they just insert your whole name, or as I say, to the occupier, it can indicate that they're talking to anybody, you know, my anybody, somebody, nobody thing. But yeah, to the occupier, could be anybody, could be everybody, could be nobody. But if someone calls us by our names, it indicates that they're talking to somebody. And as I say, sometimes we refer to by our first name, by our surname, with the Mr., Miss, Ms., whatever, in front. Sometimes by our title, Doctor, Reverend, Pastor, Major. Got any dames in the room? But while we were at Bible study, we explored what our own names meant, mostly looking at it in the Hebrew, because, you know, back in the Old Testament, that's why how people were identified. But their names meant something. It meant maybe some part of their character, and in some cases, their family line. We thought about how, again, in certain cultures today, that people are given their names because they have meaning and purpose. And as we think about names, we know that to use someone's name, their proper name, is a means of identification. And it enables us to indicate who that we're talking to or who that we're talking about. We read in Exodus 3 where Moses predicts that the Israelites will ask for the name of the one who sent him. And actually, we learn later that actually the Israelites never did ask. He's asking God for a means of a way to identify him. And we read God's response. He says, "I am who I am." This is what you are to say to the Israelites. "I am has sent me to you." God reveals his name to be Yahweh, corresponding to those four Hebrew consonants, YHYH. representing forms of the verb to be. when anyone ever asks the question, well, who created God? Just look at his name. He's always been. He's always been. Names are also used to identify relationship and our ethnic backgrounds. If I give you the surname Hughes, where does that come from? So you would reckon that someone was Welsh, yeah. Patel. Yep. Smith. Anywhere. But actually, no, it has its roots, doesn't it, in the travelling community, in the gypsies. And a lot of travellers are indeed called Smith. And your mother? Oh, there you go. Was she a traveller? Excuse us, separate conversation. But our surname or family name link us to our relatives. And shortening someone's name can indicate closeness, but in doing so habitually can also be offensive and somewhat trying. In relational terms, God can be addressed as Creator and Lord, all in capital letters, by all. But not all are entitled to call him our Father. Only those who are children of God can rightly say, our Father, because that signifies that we are in relationship with him through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And as I was saying at the beginning, names also indicate positions or roles. Doctor, Reverend, Major, Captain. Keep going. But it identifies who people are. We see in the New Testament that John the Baptist is distinguished from John the disciple. God is shown to be quite different from all the other gods, little g, when identified by his activities as creator, as shepherd, as king. And then we get to name dropping. How exasperating is name dropping? Hey, I met so-and-so. Do you know so-and-so? Oh, I do. Don't you just love that when someone starts that? I was with so-and-so last night. But, sometimes it could be a means of showing off. But in other ways, actually, it can show knowledge of a relationship with someone and to claim perhaps something of their influence. And perhaps that changes the whole context. How amazing is that if we can do that when we name drop God as our friend? In Exodus 20, he reminds the Israelites, thou shalt not take, I have to use the King James, I can only read the King James, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. I miss the thous and the thes sometimes. This doesn't mean that we shouldn't use God or Jesus' name in a curse or exclamation, as we often hear in media and even by some believers. Believers in Christ and God are to lift up God's reputation, honourable and in truth. God names himself, not simply in Exodus 3, but on many occasions he introduces himself using a description especially relevant to the situation. We read in Genesis in chapter 15 that in speaking to Abraham in a vision, he says, do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield. And we miss that, don't we, when we read our English translation. And that's why sometimes it's good to go back to the Hebrew. In Exodus 34, and he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, all in capital letters, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And you'll say, hang on a minute, I've just heard that. And that's what David picks up and uses in his psalm. The version that I read, English Standard Version, says, abounding in steadfast love, the unconditional covenant love that God has with his children. And so when we start to think of that, why would we not want to hallow his name? To hallow, as we learned, is to make something holy or to set it apart. To pray, hallowed be your name, means to ask God to let his name be worshipped, to be exalted, to be honoured and adored on earth as it is in heaven. it is to ask God to move and act in the world, that people would worship and treasure him above all other things. As we studied, we learnt that the ancient Israelites attached such sacredness to the name of God that they wouldn't say it aloud. They thought that hallowing God's name meant hallowing the name itself. And we see that the Bible refers to God in many different ways, but mostly based on on three Hebrew words, El, Yahweh, and Adon. Yahweh is always used as a proper name rather than a title. It's only used for the God of Israel, and it's actually the name that God gives himself when he speaks to Moses. It emphasizes relationship and presence. God allows his people to call him by his name, and he is actively with his people. This name is used thousands of times in the Old Testament. But because of that early tradition of not saying it out loud, it's often replaced by the word Lord in capitals. And even if you look at the psalm that was read earlier, you can see it starts off with Lord in capital letters. And that's what we see in most of our Bibles. By using the name that God gave us himself, it stresses that God is a person who lets us know what that name is and allows us to use it. So what does it mean to pray, hallowed be thy name, as Jesus taught? If we look, and you can almost see it in your own head, can't you, as we pray, our Father. But look how heaven frames those first three petitions of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Never noticed it before until I sat down and looked at it. Heaven and heaven. We want God's name hallowed, his kingdom to come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Which led me to ask the question, so how is God's name hallowed in heaven? And we read in the Old Testament in Isaiah that the angelic creatures cry out, holy, 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 is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And then as we get into the end of in the New Testament, Revelation, the worship in heaven never ends. So whenever you want to know what you're going to be doing in heaven, we're going to be worshiping day and night. Because we read, day and night, they never cease to say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who it was and is to come. And in Revelation 5, every creature in heaven joins in to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honour and glory and might forever and ever. God's name is honoured and adored in unceasing worship. Sadly, the same can't be said on earth. This is what God says through the prophet Isaiah. Continually, all the day, my name is despised. The scene on earth could not be more different from the scene in heaven. And we hear it, don't we, as we were saying at Bible study, constantly when people are expressing something, it's, oh my God, or oh God. It doesn't mean anything, does it? It's just saying God's name. I often wonder what they're thinking. If only they were hallowing God's name and not their new house or their new garden or their clutter-free environment. That usually has the biggest expression of, oh my God, I had to let my inner Essex out. I did it on Friday, I have to do it now. In heaven, God's name is honoured as the angels worship without ceasing. On earth, we read that God's name is despised, blasphemed all day long. And into that we pray, that first petition of the Lord's Prayer. To pray, hallowed be your name, means to ask God to let his name be worshipped and honoured and adored. And so when will that prayer be answered? Will it be answered? Our Lord did not teach us to offer fruitless prayers. every petition of the Lord's Prayer will be answered. So when we frame our prayers around the way that Jesus taught us how to pray, we can always pray with confidence. We know that we are praying into the will of God, because these are the things that the Lord has taught us how to pray. Each of the six petitions will be answered when our Lord returns, and each has an answer that we can experience here and now. There's a now answer and a then answer. The now and the not yet that we hear so much about and we wait patiently for. We read in Habakkuk that when Christ returns in power and glory, God's name will be hallowed, will be honoured, will be glorified and exalted. He prophesies, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The world will be the home of righteousness. Everything will be right with God. Never again will God's name be blasphemed. God's name will be honoured on earth as it is in heaven. And all of God's people will worship him and love him and adore him forever. We read in Revelation 22, yes, I am coming soon. And so we all join in that angelic praise. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. But how can this prayer be answered here and now in a world that despises God's name? What is God's answer to his name being blasphemed all day long? And he tells us again in that verse from Isaiah, continually all the day my name is despised. Therefore, my people shall know my name. He wants us to be able to say his name and understand who he is. Hallowed be your name is not a prayer for a change in God, but for a change in each one of us. We're not asking God to make himself more holy, because we can't and he can't. His holiness is all infinite and perfect and complete. When we pray those words, we're asking God to raise up here on earth people who know him, who love him, who treasure him more than life itself. We pray so that in a world that despises and blasphemes God's name, that his name may be honoured. Studying the names and titles given to God serves to tell us much of who God is and what he's like, and what he does and how he relates to each one of us. But most importantly, to understand more about God so that we can know him better. In the Psalm of Lament of David that we heard earlier, he confesses that the Lord is good and forgiving, acknowledging that his own sins may well have contributed to his predicament. But recognizing whom God is and his relationship with him, David prays in verse 11 for a united heart to live faithfully to God. And as I read that verse again, it reminded me of last week when Jesus prayed that we would be one as they are one. And it's interesting to hear those words again repeated throughout Scripture. Three times David speaks of God's steadfast love. In your version, in verse 5, 13 and 15, you'll see it just as love. David hallows God's name throughout this psalm, and by using the Hebrew word hesed, for which there is no adequate English alternative, he draws out God's faithfulness, his loving kindness. God's loyalty and total dependability are set apart. David is assured of God's loving concern, leading to the active help. When Israel, when David, when we break faith with God, he continues to show us his mercy and his grace, as we read in verse 15. The one who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. What better reason to come in prayer and hallow God's name? So perhaps this week, if you're not doing it already, try using God's names and titles and character in prayer. I know that it will enhance our prayer lives, make problems perhaps seem less as we turn our attention from ourselves to our God, who is worthy of all the glory. We can be much clearer in our minds and in our hearts and lives as we do know what it means that God loves us, and in turn what it means for us to love him. Only then can we really love others. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we read those words, "But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness." What wonderful words to hear when we're tired, when we're anxious, when we're frustrated, that there is always grace to help us in our time of need. May we plead like David, "Turn to me and have mercy on me. Show your strength in behalf of your servant. Save me." The mercy and sacrifice that David looked forward to with such confidence, and we look back with awe and wonder as God acted for us to save us from our sin. Loving Father, there is no one like you, and we praise and worship you for your love towards us. Help us to tear down any false idols that we have created in our own imagination. You alone are worthy of our worship and our praise and our thanksgiving. And we pray that the rest of our lives may be set aside completely for you, in willing obedience and humble devotion for your praise and your glory. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As David speaks at the end of that psalm, he says, "Give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, Lord, have helped me and comforted me." And that we thank God that through Jesus we can see and know him, and that his glory and goodness are made known. And so let's continue that thought as we sing number 708. "To God be the glory, great things he has done." Let's pray. May the beauty of God be reflected in your eyes, the love of God be reflected in your hands, the wisdom of God be reflected in your words, and the knowledge of God flow from your heart that all might see, and in seeing, believe. Praise the Lord. May the earth hear his voice. Amen.